top stories to keep your eyes and ears on.
After a plea deal, Ben Lakranji, Steinhoff's finance chief, or former finance chief, I should say, has been given a 5-year jail term. But had the mastermind of the Steinhoff scam, Marcus Joost, not killed himself, Lakranji might never have been convicted. That is according to my first guest today, Rob Rose, who is author of the best-selling book Steinheist and also founder of the new financial news platform Currency. Rob, a very warm welcome to you. And why has this taken such a long time?
Afternoon, Jeremy. Well, that's the thing. It actually shouldn't have taken this long. 7 years to get to this point is ridiculous. Ben Lakranji, in this particular case, I mean, he worked with the prosecutors and the investigators for 5.5 years of that. I mean, he was being groomed to be a state witness in this particular case. And then the main culprit, the mastermind of this, Marcus Joost, killed himself. And I suppose the prosecutors had to recalibrate where they were in this to hold someone accountable, because certainly the public wanted there to be accountability for Steinhoff, justifiably, and so did all the shareholders. You know, it's 106 billion rand fraud. Mm. You have to have accountability for this. So Lakranji did this plea deal. It was only one fraud charge, and it was related to a very fringe element of the Steinhoff fraud. It wasn't related to the bigger Steinhoff fraud. So he has gone to jail for this, and this is significant. It's the first jail sentence in the country for Steinhoff. But it still means that justice for the actual fraud is still somewhat elusive.
And hey, Rob, 5 years, some are saying the sentence was too lenient.
Yeah, you know, what happened is the complainants, the guys, the 8 or so people who first complained about this to the police, they were all asked for their views on, is this a reasonable sentence? And the Public Investment Corp, which manages 3 trillion rand on behalf of pensioners, I mean, they wrote back and said, we think this is too lenient. You have to send a stronger message to company directors. But the arguments of the prosecutors were that, well, you know, he's actually helped us decode this thing for the past couple of years, and he's going to testify against future people in this particular case. I suppose, Jeremy, the question is, who's going to be next in the dock? And does it justify that?
Well, we had Stian Grobler in the dock today, Rob, if I'm not mistaken. Before we get back to Lakranji, just give me a very broad sense of what role he played in the company. And the two trials or the two cases have been separated, am I right?
Yes. Well, initially what happened is Marcus Joost and Stian Grobler, who was the company secretary for Steinhoff, were due to appear in court on the same day in March. And the day before that, Marcus Joost shot himself, and Stian did appear by himself in court. So Stian was there from the inception, and he was, according to the charge sheet, he was instrumental in creating some of the fictitious documents that were used to justify the fraud, and was, I suppose, far more central to the actual fraud than Ben Lakranji. So Lakranji was added later after Joost's death. So Stian's case has now been postponed, and that'll be fascinating, because that when that finally gets going, it does deal more directly with the central fraud in this case.
And Rob Rose, the relationship between Marcus Joost and Ben Lakranji and their nexus or interaction, what can you tell us about that?
Well, Ben was a fairly young financial director at the time of Steinhoff. It was a very hierarchical company, and Marcus Joost was quite a bully. He would, you know, he would insist people did it his way. So in a sense, Ben came into it as a very young CFO being offered lots and lots of money. And it was fairly easy, you'd imagine, at the time to influence someone like Ben Lakranji to do what you wanted. You know, what actually happened in this particular case, the crime for which he was convicted, was Marcus Joost handed him a handwritten invoice for 376 million rand and said, sure, just process this. And so Ben took that invoice and he put it through Steinhoff's books. He thought it was all legitimate, but, you know, the question is, had you been a more sort of war-worn CFO, you might have asked more questions. But obviously Ben was a very useful patsy to some extent for Marcus. He could pull off a lot of what he did.
If I'm reading this correctly, we'll get a lot more information coming out at the end of November about this whole scandal. There's a big PwC report that is coming out. What is that going to add to this whole thing?
Well, the PwC report is what was commissioned by Steinhoff right in the beginning. And it took, you know, a team of forensic investigators more than a year to draw together the machinations of exactly what happened, because it's an incredibly complicated fraud. I mean, the level of sophistication in the way Marcus Joost was able to actually create fictitious cash flows is something that I think accountants didn't actually know was possible in most cases. So it will reveal exactly what happened and how he did it. And I think that'll be, if Steinhoff releases that report, and they've been determined not to up until now. We lodged an application to get the report, and they refused it. But if it comes out, I think it'll fill in a lot of the gray areas and a lot of the holes we have in the story. It'll certainly add, you know, far more to understanding of how this actually happened.
What does the Lekhranji sentence say about corporate accountability in South Africa right now?
Well, I mean, it's a hard one to say because, you know, on the one hand, like you say, it should never have taken this long to provide any accountability for Steinhoff. On the other hand, he is going to jail, which, you know, it's you actually have a jail sentence for Steinhoff, and hopefully there'll be more to follow. So it does indicate, the NPA said that it does indicate that the wheels of justice grind, but slowly. Mm. I think that for true justice to be done in the corporate sector, it has to grind a lot faster. But it does, I suppose, send a message that sooner or later you will be caught. I suppose in the case of Steinhoff, it had to be done. And you just wonder how many smaller cases aren't being prosecuted because they're not Steinhoff.
Rob, I'm going to break the rules of journalism with my final question here. You got a book out of this. You have been following this more closely than anyone in South Africa. How do you feel about this whole thing? And are we drawing to the end of a very long and prolonged drama in corporate South African history?
I mean, I do think so, because, you know, it has been 7 years since this happened, but I think it goes back many years before that. It's how somebody through, you know, very wily means created this fantastic company that everyone thought was the bee's knees, the next place to invest. It was the second biggest furniture retailer in Europe. Steinhoff was the place where everyone wanted to put their money. And it's about how that was a complete mirage. And how we need to look deeper into these, you know, supposed success stories we look at. So I think there's so many lessons from it. I mean, I personally think that it's nearing the end. We need accountability for what happened, and we need to find out exactly how it happened. I think those are the two last missing pieces of the puzzle.
And you need a new scandal to cover.
Exactly, exactly.
There are lots of them around, aren't there?
Exactly. Just hang around.
Yeah,
hang
just hang around.
See where that gets me.
Okay, Rob Rose, thank you very much indeed. Author of the best-selling book Stein Heist, and also founder of the new financial news platform called Currency, currencynews.co.za.